verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus, our Passover, I love that, our Passover is crucified for us. Amen. Because in Exodus 12, the people of Israel were instructed that every house should have their own lamb. Each house should have their own goat. Each house should have their own Passover lamb, and they were to sacrifice it. And brother, sister, at the very moment that the Passover was killed on the 14th day of Nisan, the first of the Jewish religious calendar, that was the same day and the same hour that Jesus Christ died. Amen. And everything about the Passover was referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in this season of the Passover, Israel at this point in time had been given a promise. God had promised Abraham that for 400 years, his children would be afflicted. His children would be strangers, amen, in a foreign land, amen. And the Bible says that at the end of that period, I will punish that particular country that afflicted them. And I will allow my people to come out and go and occupy the land that I have decreed for them. And it's interesting that God waited. And after 400 years and 30 years after Abraham died, Israel came out of Egypt. The Bible says to the very day that Jesus Christ promised, they came out of Egypt. Amen. But incidentally, something had to happen for that to, you know, transpire. The Bible says that it was the day of, you know, Passover. And on that day, God told Moses, tell the people of Israel, everybody get a lamb, right? Get a goat. And on that day, they were to make unleavened bread. Let's shout unleavened bread. In fact, the women were instructed to go through the houses and to make sure that there was no leaven or no yeast in the house. And the leaven or the yeast refers, in this particular case, to sin, to iniquity. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or the dangerous doctrines and teachings of these, you know, other sects of the Jewish culture. Amen. But in any case, the Bible said they were to go through the house and remove that way. So in the time of the Passover, it's a time for self-examination. It is a time to look at our lives and to order it according to the word of God. And where we are falling foul of the word, we correct ourselves. Amen. That is what the blood is there for anyway. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission or the forgiveness of sins or the removal of sin. Amen. So in the Passover season, sin is dealt with. And in addition to dealing with sin, God executes judgment on the strong men of the kingdom of darkness. And it was in that season that the Bible says that I will go through Egypt at the midnight hour, and I will execute judgment on her God, and I will kill the firstborn. Hallelujah. It's gone all good. And it was that very season that Jesus entered into the bowels of hell. And that was when the Bible says he spoiled the principalities and the powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by their cross. So the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is salvation. The preaching of the cross is power. The preaching of the cross may be foolishness to some, but for us, it is the wisdom and the power of God. Hallelujah. And today, as this word goes forth, God will break through on your behalf. Amen. Because why do we, you know, link up the breaker anointing with the Passover? It will take some teaching for us to understand this. And I believe that's why we are here. Amen. That's why we call it a conference. Because in a conference, we have time, amen, to dig down, amen, and get into the meat of the word. So the first night, we are going to be dealing with the doctrine of the breaker anointing. Amen. And then, you know, the second night, we'll go into some key examples. And the third night will be an anointing service for breakthrough. In the third night, you are going to anoint each person who will come forward, amen, to receive what we call the breaker anointing, amen. But we need to understand what is the breaker anointing, amen. Let's go to Micah chapter 2. Our key text is Micah chapter 2 verse 13, amen. Everybody say Micah 2:13. Hallelujah. It's like a double decker today. The Bible says that the breaker, if I let's start from verse 12, just to get the context of what we are saying tonight. Hallelujah. Bible says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee, I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as a sheep of Bozrah. Bozrah means a sheepfold. Amen. As a flock in the midst of their fold, they shall make a great noise. Everybody shout noise. And they shall make a great noise by reason of the multitude of men. It's interesting that the things of God goes with a lot of noise. In today's church, there's a clear difference in many churches. Amen. Some churches frown on noise. Amen. In some books that are written to, you know, execute etiquette in a church, we are told not to make enough noise to, you know, drown out the voice of the person sitting by us. But our God seems to like noise. Amen. In fact, the Bible records for us that around his throne are lightnings and thunderings and voices and rumblings. Have you heard the thunder clap before? You see the peals of thunder. In fact, when Jesus spoke in Revelation 1, his voice sounded like a trumpet. Amen. In fact, God has a loud voice. Amen. Now, when God speaks to us, you know, so that we don't get all jumpy and stuff, he speaks in a still, small voice. But when he comes in his fullness and he begins to talk, you can't stand it. It happened in Exodus 19 when the Father descended on Mount Sinai. Bible says when he descended in fire. He descended in smoke. And he began to speak. Before that, he told Moses, I will speak to you in front of Israel so that they respect you. So that they will recognize that you are my prophet. And on that day, he told Israel, don't come close to the mountain. Otherwise, I may mess you up. Amen. For the first time, Israel were going to see their God. So I'm sure that people were eager to have a look at this God. He says, put some fences around the mountain. I don't want anybody to approach me. Amen. And on that day, when he came, the Bible says that there was a loud trumpet sound. And unfortunately, instead of dialing down the thunder, the Bible said that the trumpet blew louder and louder and louder. And the louder it blew, the more the Israelites began to move forward. And eventually, the Israelites told Moses, Moses, you are the man. We believe in you today. Now, this God, who is our God, is a terrible God. Now, we know that you are his man. Now, you represent all of us. Go and talk to him for us. And we'll wait for you here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that day, Moses went up the mountain. According to Hebrews, as he was going up the mountain, he was trembling. It was a fearful sight. And I want to show that in the restitution of all things, whatever we read in the Bible is about to happen. We are living in a day and time where every prophetic word, every jot, and every tittle of the word is going to be performed. If God came visibly, he's going to come visibly. There are going to be wonders in the heavens. The Bible says that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There will be wonders in the heavens. Amen. At the time that Jesus was born, there were wonders in the heavens. There were angels singing songs in heaven. Isn't that so? There were magicians or wise men that followed a star. Amen. All the way to the very place that Jesus was being taken care of. There were wonders in heaven. Everybody say wonders in heaven. And signs on the earth. These things are about to happen. Amen. We are going to be seeing all these things manifest in this fullness. Amen. So, you see, noise has a lot to do with what God does. In fact, the Bible says in the Psalms that God is gone up with a shout. Hallelujah. The Bible says, make a joyful noise before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And joy and shouting always accompanies a harvest. Amen. So whenever there's a breakthrough in our lives, we begin to praise. We begin to lift up our voices. Amen. And that is how God is. Amen. Don't you love our God? He's noisy. Amen. He's boisterous. He can be quiet. Amen. But when he talks, it's very loud. Amen. But for us to be able to, talk with him, he has to dial down the volume for us. Isn't that wonderful? He's a good God. Well, the Bible says, I want us to stand on our feet and read verse 13, if you would, please. Amen. Micah 2 verse 13. This is our major test. And I want you to be meditating on this verse throughout these 3 days. Amen. Are we ready? The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and now gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Can we read this again? The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and now gone out by it. Their king shall pass before them, the Lord at the head of them. Can we please sit? Thank you very much. Amen. This is where we see God talking about a certain phenomena. The people of Israel at this time were scattered all over. Amen. And Micah was prophesying that God will assemble them from every place that they are. Amen. And will bring them like a sheepfold. Hallelujah. The Bible says there will be noise in the camp. And as the noise goes forth, what will happen? The Bible says the breaker will go ahead of them. Amen. The breaker is an anointing. See, the breaker is an anointing. Amen. God himself sees himself as a breaker. Brother, sister, there are certain things that have restricted man from all of time. Amen. The life of man is embodied in something called a seed. Everybody shout a seed. Amen. And the seed, for it to do well, it has to break. If it does not break, its potential remains locked up. Its potential can never be seen. We can look at how beautiful the seed is and admire it, but we can't be blessed by it. Amen. You know, there's seed for the eater and seed for the sower. Amen. So a seed is very critical because a seed has life. Amen. In the same way, we are what the Bible calls the seed of Abraham. I get in this word. And as a seed of Abraham, there's so much potential in us. A seed is programmed to bring forth something that is alike to whatever brought it out. Amen. Like produces like, right? And an orange seed is not going to bring forth grapes. It's going to come out with oranges. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen any apple seed giving birth to a pumpkin? No. Amen. So a seed has life in it, like whatever it is. And the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then in Genesis 6, that image was perverted by the copulation of the angels and the women, right? And the Bible says God had to select certain people called the election. Amen. And that came through Noah all the way down to Abraham. Amen. When it came to Abraham, God began to bless him and release a series of blessings. When you go to Genesis 12, can we go there very quickly? Genesis 12. Are you in this house? I want you to follow me very carefully. Amen. The seed has a breaker anointing in it. Say, I am programmed to multiply. I am programmed to be fruitful. Hallelujah. The Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. The Bible says, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great. You will be a blessing. Say, I am a blessing. Hallelujah. I will bless them that curse thee. I'll bless them that bless thee, sorry. And I'll curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Bible is saying that, Abraham, you will be the means by which I will bless all the nations of the earth. Isn't this wonderful? God is very amazing. Instead of, he's not a democratic God. What I mean by that is not a matter of majority rules. Amen. I know democracy is seen in the world as the best government system. But God's system is always a kingdom system. Amen. God doesn't use the democratic system. He uses some part of it. But his real means of government is done through a king. Amen. And as goes the king, so goes the whole country. If the king is good, the country is well. If the king is bad, we are in trouble. That's the way it is. That's how God does stuff. A man tries to help God by putting in place their own ways and means, putting in place their own government. We have the judiciary now, right? And then we have another branch called executive. Then we have the legislative. The executive can come up with a rule. The judiciary can cancel it. Amen. So there's no real authority structure. Right now in America, it looks like the most powerful man presently is Kennedy. Justice Kennedy seems to be the most powerful man. Isn't that so? In the Supreme Court, Obama had to beg him, please allow this particular bill to go through. Allow the gays to marry, right? And Justice Kennedy holds everything in his hands. If he says yes, everything goes. Isn't that so? Not Obama. Amen. At another time, it is the legislative. At another time, Buena can say, this thing won't happen. And I don't care how well you talk. It doesn't matter whether you are the president of the country. Still, that bill won't go through. Amen. At another time, the state can say, this won't pass. And nothing can happen. The other time, Obama will say, I will veto this bill. So, I mean, it's confusion. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. But that is what we have chosen for ourselves. But God has always chosen to work through a man. Everybody say a man. That's why when Adam fell, all of us fell. That is God's wisdom. And that is why to reverse what Adam did, he released Jesus Christ. Amen. So God said, Abraham, of all the men on the earth, I have chosen you. And it's going to be through you that the whole world will be blessed. Hallelujah. In fact, let's go to Genesis 17. Amen. I believe we are students of the word. We are going somewhere. Tell the person sitting by you, we are going somewhere. We will land. We'll land. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we say we will land, that means surely. You will land. Hallelujah. At times our English is mixed up with our roots. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all good. Amen. Y'all is not, it's not supposed to be you all. Right, so I mean, also I can also take certain liberties with the word, right? Hallelujah. Genesis 17, verse 2. He said, I will make my covenant. God is saying, I'm making an agreement with you. Amen. For God to act on the earth, he needs somebody to cooperate with him. When Adam was there, Adam was doing everything. When he messed up, it actually limited God's expression on the earth. So if any person had a good life and hooked up with God, God could work through that person to affect the world. But now God doesn't have that limitation anymore, because Jesus has actually come back and made everything as it was. Amen. So God can move freely through his people. Amen. Anyway, verse 4. As for me, my covenant is with thee. You shall be a father of many nations. That means Abraham was having more like an emperor. God was seeing him as a king of kings. As somebody who's going to rule over the whole earth. God made it so. Can we shout amen? Amen. Bible says in verse 5, I'll make your name Abraham, for you are a father of many nations. I've made this so. Everybody says, I've made this seed. I've made this so. That means Abraham is a seed, right? And in this seed, there's a program for him to rule over all nations. Amen. Are you getting this word? Neither shall thy name... No, verse 6, please. Let's move on. Verse 6. In verse 6, the Bible says, I will make thee exceedingly... Now, Adam was to be fruitful. Noah was supposed to be fruitful. Amen. Man in general was to be fruitful. But the person who was to rule over all of man had to be a step above them. And for him, he had to become what? Exceedingly fruitful. You all see this? This was a distinction. Amen. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Amen. Amen. Kings will come out of thee. Kings will come out of thee. Now let's go to Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, Abraham was about to sacrifice his son at the request of his father. Amen. I mean, at the request of God, the Father. Amen. Bible says in verse 16, God said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thee. I will multiply, it says, well, where are we? I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate. Everybody shall gate. Thy seed shall possess the what? Gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Abraham was to have a kingdom. And Abraham was to rule over that kingdom. And when Israel had their heart straight, they ruled over the whole world. And wherever Israel went, they took that emperor anointing with them. In fact, when Israel was in Canaan, there were very few. And in that time, they were strangers. Amen. When Joseph went to Egypt, Egypt at that time was one of the countries in the world. When it was all said and done, when Joseph was given a seat of rulership in that country, the Bible says all the nations of the world came to Egypt. Because the prime minister was who? Israel. And at that time, all of Israel went into Egypt. And it was in those days that Egypt became the most powerful nation in the whole world. If you need food to eat, you got to go there. Amen. So wherever Israel is concentrated, that nation, that country becomes a country that rules over all nations. Because the blessing is in that seed. Amen. And you will notice that when Israel left Egypt, Egypt became nothing. Useless. They impoverished Egypt. They got their wages for the number of years that they were there. And left Egypt high and dry. Amen. And then they went into the land and messed up with the people of the land. Instead of keeping themselves separate, they mingled with the people of the land that God said to destroy. So that polluted the mandate on their life. And eventually God became so angry with Israel. But before then, remember that Solomon became king over Israel. And in this day, the kingdom of Israel reached the highest level. And if you read your Bible, the Bible says the nations and the kings of the whole world came to Solomon. And they willingly submitted themselves to this man. The Bible says they came with gifts. And every month, the kings of the world will send a tribute to brother Solomon. And then, you know, guy loved women. That brought him down. He started to worship their gods. For the emperor anointed to be on your life, you must be in covenant with God. It says, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Amen. So what happened to Israel? The Bible says they were moved to Babylon. That's Judah and the tribe of Benjamin and the Levites. They went to Babylon. The rest of Israel was taken away by the Assyrians. Are you getting this word? Listen very carefully. Amen. When they went to Babylon, what happened to Babylon? Babylon became a powerful country. And the king of Babylon had a dream where he saw an image that had a head of gold, right? And the arm and the chest was silver. And then bronze, the loins, and then iron, and then the feet was half clay, half iron, right? And Daniel, when he interpreted the dream, everybody shout Daniel. You see, Daniel was the guy helping the king. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the mayor of Babylon. They were in charge. Amen. In fact, Darius made Daniel third in command over all of that land. When a counsel and advice was being sought, Daniel was the guy who could actually give it. They were in areas of authority. The Bible says, Daniel looked at the king and said, you are that head of gold. He says, you are a king of kings. Hallelujah. He says, God made you so. Everybody shout, God made you so. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. You are a king of kings. And that is why he had 120 nations under him. 120 kings had to come to Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Amen. But I said after thee, another nation will rise up. Amen. And that was the Persian nation. Hallelujah. And the Persian nation, you all know about Mordecai. If you read Esther, at the end of Esther, I think chapter 8, you see that Mordecai was in charge of the whole country. And the Bible says they also had that same anointing. They had 120 satraps. I think 127 satraps or 127 nations were under them. Amen. Everywhere Israel went, that place became the most powerful. When Israel went to London or Britain, Britain became the most powerful. A small country on a small island ruled the whole world. A small group of people. Have you ever seen Britain? Have you seen how small that country is? They rule the whole world. Hallelujah. And then they go angry with the Jews. And they sacked them actually at one point. And at the time that they did, that was the time that plague came into Britain. Hundreds of thousands of people died. And then Britain went down. And most of the Jews went where? Who knows where they came to? America. Now, America was a colony of this same country that has just been harboring the Jews. And what happened to America? America is now the greatest country in the whole world. Amen. Who is the person in charge of the money of America anyway? He's a Jew, right? When the Jews are not in charge of our money, everything goes down. In the days of Clinton, it was a Jew who was in charge of our money. Are you hearing this word? So wherever they are in charge, that country becomes the greatest in the world. Amen. Are you getting this? Because the seed of Abraham has a program of emperorship, an ability to rule over nations, whether we like it or we don't like it. Amen. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God that Galatians 3 verse 29 gives us a secret. In fact, when you read, and I encourage you to read Galatians, all of Galatians 3. When you read Galatians 3, you'll find out that the seed of Abraham that God was talking about was not Isaac. It was not, you know, Solomon. It was who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is that seed of Abraham. And he came to ratify and guarantee that covenant that God made with Abraham. That covenant was put aside by the law, but Jesus came to put it back in place with even greater upgrades. Hallelujah. Don't you love an upgrade? I love upgrades. Amen. I didn't really understand the concept of upgrades until I came to this wonderful country. I could see somebody with a very nice car. There's nothing wrong with this car. They get tired of it. They take it to the car shop and say, I want the latest version of this car. Hallelujah. So the car companies have realized that you have to keep things rolling. At one time, Camry kept their cars. They were not really changing things. People said, you know what? We are tired of you. Move to other cars. Amen. All of a sudden, we have cars that can hit the bat. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I want a heat here, but the heat comes down here. So I don't understand how this works. Amen. You have wonderful cars. You don't need to be holding a phone to your ear. You can be driving and talking. Somebody will think you are mad, but you are not really mad. Nobody's in the car, but you are talking to somebody. Isn't this wonderful? Amen. If you have an accident, the voice can come and say, did you just have an accident? I mean, it is powerful. It's an upgrade. Everybody shall upgrade. Well, Hebrews 8 verse 6 says that Christ has become the mediator of a better covenant. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whereas Abraham's covenant was guaranteed with the blood of animals, this covenant has been established for all of time with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Shout to somebody. We are going somewhere. We are on a trip. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Galatians 3 verse 29. Hallelujah. If you don't know this verse, make this one of your nice verses. Amen. Galatians 3 verse 29. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, if ye be Christ, then are ye. All right. Is this Bible? Are you holding in your hand a Bible? Bible says, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. In that case, if you are the seed of Abraham, then you have the wonderful privilege of being an inheritor. What are you inheriting? Bible says you are an heir according to the promise. What was the promise? Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And as the sand on the seashore, and in thy seed, Bible says that thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. That is why Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon thee, and then ye shall be witnesses.